What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It's Monday, March 28th, 2011, here, start of a brand new week of utter insanity and deterioration of the United States of America. Every time you think things can't get any worse, they get worse. And there's a lot of bad news going on there today. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Manny's in the control room twiddling the dials. And if I sound like I'm kind of cranky and upset, I am. We've had more major computer problems out here again because Microsoft decided it was more important to buy Paul Allen another yacht than to actually hire people to make the software work correctly. So I'm in a very, very foul mood. It's all the fault of the computers and not you, the listeners, and not you, RBN people. And but we'll try and get past that and get on to do some other things here. Obviously, the big story today, and it's kind of hard to pick one, you know, Obama's going to be getting on TV later today, and he's going to go out there and he's going to try and hard sell you on just what a swell idea it is to start yet another war on yet another continent against somebody that Israel doesn't like. And he's running into a lot of opposition from the international community. He's running into a lot of opposition even within the United States Congress. It may be that what he has done is in fact illegal and not covered by the War Powers Act. But as long as Israel is out there saying, go fight, win, go fight, win, send your children to kill the Libyans. You know, Obama seems to be out there and saying, yeah, we gotta find some way to trick the American people into thinking this is a really good idea. Secretary for Robert Gates is already talking about going into Syria, and once again we're seeing the propaganda campaign ramp up to sell you war with Iran, which is the ultimate prize that Israel wants destroyed, because Israel wants every country in the region, larger or wealthier or more powerful than Israel, to be smashed by those dumb Americans. And it looks like, you know, now that Iraq is gone, Iran is next on the hit parade, to put it politely and delicately. And so they're back to doing that. We're trying to figure out how they plan to start, how they plan to sell a war with Iran to a very war-weary American people. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit later. But obviously, number one story continues to be Fukushima. The Japanese government is finally admitting that Fukushima probably has exceeded the Chernobyl disaster. And there is still no end in sight. The levels of radiation continue to climb. The degree of contamination continues to increase. The Japanese government is now admitting there has been at least one meltdown in one of the reactors. They may be waiting for like a really good opportunity, distraction, to admit to any more. You know, was Paris Hilton back in the news? Okay, none of the reactor melted down. Oh, they're talking about JonBenet Ramsey? Okay, reactor number three melted down. And they wait for something to dominate the news, and then they let out a little bit more of how bad things are going. But over the weekend, it has basically come out that the water that is collecting down in the tunnels that connects the various buildings is highly radioactive, 100,000 times the radioactivity that is supposed to be there. There isn't supposed to be water in those tunnels. The water that does get down there is not supposed to be radioactive. We keep hearing over and over and over again over the last 3 weeks that there are signs of reactor vessel breach, signs of containment breach. Then we get this next day, there's a story, oh no, no, the containment is still secure, everything is fine, the radiation is at harmless levels, and go back to paying your taxes and cranking out soldiers for the next war and everything. And then of course another couple of days after that, we find out, yeah, things are as bad as people have been reporting. We're seeing a continuation of this massive and now silly public relations campaign to try and downplay this disaster. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the show as well. All right, we're at the end of our little intro segment here. One more time, the numbers are 800-313-9443. Manny's in the control room. We're going to take a break here for some commercials and sell you some stuff and pay the bills around here, which is getting increasingly difficult, but we are still managing to do that. And we will be right back.
Oh, yeah. Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream, or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about Fukushima. We're talking about the very obvious signs that this is a major record-setting disaster. We're still seeing the corporate media trying to protect General Electric's stock price and TEPCO's stock price and the nuclear power industry as a whole with these ludicrous articles they're putting out there. I'm going to be taking the BBC to task a little bit later in the show. The whole world is making fun of Ann Coulter now, who was out there saying radiation is good for you. So it's just really, really absurd. Now, the latest word that we're getting out from Japan is that this radioactive water, I mean, they've been pouring water into the place for weeks now, and obviously there's runoff and drainage. There's highly radioactive water indicating that the primary cooling loops on these reactors have failed and are leaking. And now they're confirming that, yeah, this highly radioactive water is leaching into the ocean. Gee, I wonder where we heard that that might be a concern. So the Japanese government is now admitting to a meltdown in one of the reactor cores. They're admitting that the radioactive water is getting into the ocean. And here's what gets interesting, because we actually caught TEPCO in an outright lie. Just yesterday, TEPCO ran this little story saying that they were unable to detect plutonium outside the reactor containments at Fukushima using their own methods, and they were going to send samples to an outside laboratory that might take 2 or 3 weeks to confirm whether or or not plutonium was there. And this was all over, and I got it sent to me by a bunch of people saying, see, see, it's not a big deal. You should apologize to General Electric. And then today, we basically get a story where they're saying the work crews at the site have found the plutonium in the soil outside of the complex. They took 5 soil samples, and they found plutonium. They're still insisting there's no threat to public health, which is, of course, absurd. If you go back and you look at the aftermath of Chernobyl, there were only a few people who died during the Chernobyl accident itself. All of the health consequences of Chernobyl did not manifest for weeks and months and even years after the disaster. And if you look at what happened in Iraq, and presumably will now happen in Libya now that they're using depleted uranium munitions there, the ill effects don't even show up until the next generation. Strontium-90, okay, is notorious for not only causing leukemia in people, but it settles in the reproductive organs, and you produce severe birth defects in subsequent generations. So, TEPCO, your pants are on fire. We caught you. Yesterday you were saying couldn't possibly detect plutonium in the soil. Then today we get a report saying, yeah, you've known it was there all along. We suspected it was there back on March 15th. I don't know if you ran this, if you remember this story, where they were showing the explosion of reactor number 3. And they're saying, oh, it's hydrogen and steam, nothing to worry about. But the plume coming out of the reactor was yellow-brown, which is not steam. And it's not water vapor, which is what you get when hydrogen explodes. And we looked at the isotopic, the various oxide states of plutonium oxide, and the 4th oxide state, quadrivalent plutonium oxide, is yellow-brown. And it's at that point I said, I think we've got a plutonium leak, possibly from the rods stored in the cooling pools, or possibly a breach of the containment vessel itself. There was a huge explosion, if you go back and you look at that video. So now they're saying, yeah, there's plutonium detected in the soil around there, and it is a major, major problem. Now, pregnant women in Japan are leaving the 4 prefectures mostly affected by the reactor disaster. Miyagi Prefecture, Fukushima Prefecture, Tokyo, obviously, itself, and there's the other one there, begins with an I, I'm blanking on the name, Itagari or something prefecture. That's another one where the Tokai power plant is located. They're all leaving, and they're going to other parts of Japan, if not other countries, to basically finish out their pregnancies and have their children, because they're very, very worried about severe birth abnormalities. And it's not helping anybody's confidence that the president of Tokyo Electric Power Company, TEPCO, Masutaka Shimizu, has not been seen for a couple of weeks now. And the rumors are flying that he may have, in fact, committed suicide over what's going on. And the only official statement from the company is that he is not doing his job because of an unspecified illness. So they're trying to keep the lid on whatever's going on down there. So basically, where we stand right now is Japan's government is admitting to a partial meltdown in reactor core number 2. I don't know. Partial meltdown, I'm not sure what that really means. That's like saying you're partly a virgin. You know, either you are or you aren't. The reactor core is either intact and working or it's melted down. And the question of degree really is kind of meaningless in the event of a core and containment breach, which is where we seem to be looking at here. From where I'm sitting, it's looking like reactors 1 through 3 are really seriously messed up. Reactor 4, the core is okay because it was shut down, but you've got that fuel rod cooling pool, which will not hold water, and those rods are continuing to heat. There's some kind of leakage from reactors 5 and 6, no other details on that. There are persistent rumors that 2 of the other power stations in Japan are still dealing with problems resulting from the tsunami and quake, the Onagawa and Tokai nuclear plants. Still rumors, still no comment officially from TEPCO or the Japanese government. But the situation clearly seems to be getting worse. Every day we are hearing the radiation leaking from the plant is getting higher. They're detecting neutrons, which indicates fission is happening somewhere inside that plant, which is the aftermath of a meltdown, which they're now admitting to, or the collapse and overheating of those spent fuel rods. So you know, this is not over. This is absolutely not over at all. And they're basically saying the radiation is 100,000 times the level that it should be. It's 1,200 times what it should be in the ocean. And it's not over. It's continuing. It's continuing to grow. Could we see more meltdown? Yeah. Could we see more explosion? Yeah. We're at the point right now where they're saying they can't keep the workers in there to even look at what's going on because of all the radioactive water. They've already had to send some people to the hospital. This thing is not going to go away anytime soon. So, turning back here to the United States of America, first of all, our radiation reading this morning with our little gizmo here was a little up over normal background, but still in the safe range, thank goodness. We're not taking our potassium iodide pills just yet. But scientists all across America are starting to say they're detecting the radiation from Fukushima in the rainwater of the, you know, falling all over the United States. West Coast, yeah, we knew that. Apparently been detected all the way into Boston. Not to worry, of course, Ann Coulter is still insisting that radiation is good for you. But what's really interesting is we're finding out now that the EPA's radiation monitoring system, not only are 8 of the 18 sensors completely down for service and calibration, but apparently the entire network as a whole, because of some kind of an unspecified problem, was not even working through most of last week. That ought to wake you up right there. And now they're saying that the sensors that are working are on very slow data propagation feeds, which is a fancy way of saying if they're showing lethal radiation today, EPA supposedly is not going to hear about it for a couple of days. I mean, that's nonsense. The earthquake system is virtually instantaneous. The tsunami system is virtually instantaneous. We have these radiation monitoring systems that apparently, I mean, fire alarms are instantaneous. And yet we're supposed to believe that the radiation monitoring system operated by the United States government is kind of half broken and not really working. And even if it is working, you're not going to hear any results for a few days. And if you believe that one, I've got some glowing Japanese watches for you to buy. Now, the media is focusing on the iodine problem, you know, the iodine-131, and they keep harping on the fact that iodine has a very short half-life, which it does, 6 to 7 days. And I was getting all kinds of snarky emails from very obvious public relations shills about, see, by the time it gets here, it's completely harmless. And my response to that was, you go back and you reread what the definition of half-life is, because that's the amount of time it will take for half of the radioactive material to dissipate. So if you have a concentration of radioactive iodine that is 64 times what's needed to kill somebody, a week from now it'll only be 32 times what is needed to kill somebody. And the week after that, it'll be only 16 times. And the week after that, only 8 times. And the week after that, only, and so forth and so on. It doesn't really go away. It's a descending exponential curve. But there's never going to be a time where it's all the way gone. Supposedly, it reaches a point where the effects from the low-level radiation are so subtle, you're probably going to die of other causes before the radiation symptoms show up. But again, this stuff gets passed on to the next generation, as we're seeing all over Iraq from the use of the depleted uranium munitions there. Now, one of the reasons the media and scientists are focusing on iodine is it's fairly easy to detect. Plutonium, which is the real danger coming out of this reactor, is actually very hard to find. Because in its non-fissioning state, it is an alpha emitter, like polonium. And if it's covered in dust or dirt, radiation detectors aren't going to pick it up. Because alpha radiation is very, very weak. It is stopped by the dead skin cells on your skin. Alpha radiation outside your body is perfectly safe. That's why they use it in the starters for compact fluorescent light bulbs is one example, and so forth and so on. It's when you inhale it or ingest it that it becomes deadly, because once it's on the inside of your body, that tissue will respond to the radiation. So that's the danger from it. But they're talking about, you know, the plutonium, it's harmless and blah, 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 and they're not being 100% honest. They're not being 100% honest. And this we were seeing this in so many of these different articles about, don't worry, plutonium's really, that's nonsense. 1/1,000,000 of 1 gram of plutonium, if you inhale it or swallow it, is an engraved invitation to cancer. And here's the part they're not telling you. The various isotopes of plutonium can decay into other products that are far more lethal. Plutonium-241 can decay into americium-241, which is a gamma ray emitter, and those are the ones you want to avoid. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're going to go to the phones right now. Matt in Ohio. Aloha, Matt. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. Just three quick questions for you. They kind of overlap with what you just were talking about. So if you don't mind, I'll ask them real quick and then take the answer off air. Okay. What level of radioactivity on your meter would you start taking your potassium iodide? That's number one. Number two, are there any safe, or not safe, but are there any reliable radiation meters? You know, we know the, like you mentioned, the EPA system isn't, you know, they're kind of fiddling with that and giving us some unreliable information. Do you know of any relatively reliable radiation testing meters that that are out there on the public or on the internet or wherever? And then third, I had heard some, I don't know if this came from the Ann Coulter story or not, but I'd heard people saying that, well, radiation isn't so bad because, you know, if you look at, like, you know, bananas, for instance, they sometimes have potassium and sometimes they have these radioactive potassium yeah. molecules that get absorbed up into them, and sometimes there's 1,000 times as highly radioactive as safe levels, and people aren't dying, dropping dead from bananas, and therefore, you know, radiation isn't really that bad. I was wondering if you can address those three things, if you don't mind.
All right, not at all. First of all, on this particular meter that I'm using, 12 is considered the maximum safe level for ongoing permanent exposure. In other words, year after year after year after year. I figure when this hits 30 is when we'll start taking the potassium iodide. We're not there. We haven't even gotten out of the safety range yet. But we do notice that when we see these, you know, we're watching the French plume simulations, predictions, analysis, and we have noticed that when some of the more intense plumes are over Hawaii, the counts do elevate a little bit. So we're detecting the fallout from Fukushima. It is still at safe levels, and you can imagine all of my friends around here are very happy and relaxed to read that. As far as an accurate meter, right now, it's almost impossible to find one. Everybody's buying their own radiation meters. Nobody is trusting the media after we've seen all the lies so far about what's going on out there, and people really want to have their own equipment that is reliable. What would really help is if you can get an isotope source to use as a testing reference to make sure the meter's actually working. And a good one that's very inexpensive to get is to go out and get some of the little mantles for the Coleman lanterns, you know, those little cloth bags that hang on the gas pipe there, and they're the part that actually glows white when you use it. Well, those contain thorium. And as long as you don't ingest or inhale the mantle or its ash, it's still relatively safe. It's a beta source, so, you know, you don't want to, like, tape it to your forehead for any prolonged amount of time, but it's still, as radioisotopes go, it's still pretty safe. And you can use those to test your meter and make sure that it's still showing the same amounts of calibration. I actually have an old camera lens here that was made with thorium glass, which was used in very fast lenses, low-light lenses, many years ago, and I use that as my stable reference to keep make sure that my meter is still working. It does have a little tendency to drift when the battery starts to wear out. So I got a whole box of batteries, and I'm putting new batteries in all the time. It's probably very wasteful, but it keeps it accurate. As far as people talking about radiation, as I said, one of the biggest frauds that we're seeing from the media is this tendency to sort of treat radiation the way they would treat electricity. Yes, a 1,000-volt shock will kill you, but a 5-volt shock won't harm you at all. And the difference is, of course, that over time, a small amount of radiation exposure will do just as much damage as a very brief, very intense, high radiation exposure. And we're seeing things in the media where they're saying, well, the radiation from Fukushima is no worse than a chest X-ray. Okay, but a chest X-ray is over after a fraction of a second, whereas the radiation from Fukushima is going to be with us for decades into the future, especially if you ingest or inhale it. And so there's a lot of absolute dishonesty. Yeah, bananas have a lot of potassium. I eat a lot of bananas myself. It's not radioactive potassium. And yes, there's always background radiation in very low levels. I live on an extinct volcano, and lava is always slightly radioactive. But the problem is that lava is outside my body. I'm not in the habit of eating or breathing lava particles. But obviously, what we're dealing with when we're talking about Fukushima is we're talking about plutonium and cesium and strontium and tellurium and americium and all these other isotopes that are in particle form in the air and coming down in the rain onto the food. And as we've already commented on earlier, these radioisotopes spilling into the ocean are not going to just sink to the bottom. They're absorbed by the plants. Remember, we talked about the mechanism. The reason cigarettes killed so many people had nothing to do with the tobacco and everything to do with the cheap mineral fertilizer the tobacco was being grown in, which contained radioactive polonium. And the tobacco plants would absorb the polonium as part of their nutrients, and it would become part of the plant. And when you would smoke that plant, the polonium would get into your lung, and it would stay there. And that was what was causing cancer, because if you were smoking a pack a day of cigarettes, that was the radiological equivalent of 200 chest X-rays a year. And common sense is going to tell you that much exposure to radiation is going to have some problems. So there's a lot of dishonesty in the media. We're going to talk about that when we come back from this next commercial break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Tonight. And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here, and we're talking about Fukushima. We're going to finish up on this and get on to some other things like Libya real soon, but I want to make a point here, and that is about the news coverage we've been seeing. We're all out here poking fun at Ann Coulter for her comment about radiation is good for you, and we're looking at these latest helicopter videos looking down into the wreckage of the reactors, and we're saying, is that Ann Coulter down there sunbathing? And obviously not. It's a very, very serious situation over there. But what's interesting is to go back and look at the media reporting following Chernobyl, and even earlier than that, following the final declassification of the after effects of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, because immediately after those happened, the U.S. government was not being told what was being discovered about the effects of the radiation on the Japanese people. That was completely covered up for the American people. Obviously couldn't cover it up in Japan. They knew exactly what they were suffering. So we found some articles. I mean, back in 1956, we found an editorial in one of the Toronto papers. We've linked it to whatreallyhappened.com. And basically in 1956, you know, the media was warning that nuclear power stations, as wonderful as they could be when they worked, were more dangerous to human life than nuclear weapons in the event of a catastrophic failure, which obviously at Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and Fukushima we are now seeing. And yet we're seeing these very ludicrous articles put out by the corporate mainstream media of today about how it's no big deal. I mean, Ann Coulter's thing about radiation is good for you. Jim Cramer at CNBC, it's not going to be another Chernobyl. Go back to buying stocks. And we're seeing all of this blatant pandering by the corporate media to try and protect the stock price of TEPCO and the stock price of General Electric and to preserve the nuclear power industry as a whole and to basically contain a panic because there really isn't anything the U.S. government can do about this mess. So they're just going to pretend like it's not a problem and try and convince you that because they are treating it like it's not a problem, that you should not think it's a problem and go back to, buying a bunch of jewelry on credit or the terrorists will win. And the BBC had an article today about how we should stop running away from radiation, and basically the quote I took out of it that we need to pay attention to. It said, more than 10,000 people have died in the Japanese tsunami, and the survivors are cold and hungry, but the media concentrates on nuclear radiation from which no one has died and is unlikely to. Now, first of all, as we pointed out, we don't know if anybody was in the reactors when those explosions happened. They're probably dead. They can't get in there to find out. There are missing people, including the president of TEPCO himself. Nobody's sure where he is. But as I pointed out earlier in the show, when Chernobyl happened, the health consequences of that disaster did not manifest on day one. It took weeks, months, sometimes years, sometimes the next generation. People would think that they had escaped the consequences of Chernobyl, then they have a child and the child is born hideously deformed. The doctor says, oh yeah, that's the kind of thing we've been seeing around here, a lot of this stuff from the strontium-90. So it is utterly irresponsible for BBC to be being out there and saying that nobody's likely to die from Fukushima. That's an certainly those three workers who were exposed to such high levels of radiation. We don't know when they're going to die. They're still alive now. That doesn't mean that they're going to live their lives to a healthy old age. Quite the contrary. One of the worst contamination disasters that happened during the development of the atomic bomb, the gentleman that it happened to, and he knew he was dead right the moment it happened from this fission accident, and it still took him several weeks to finally die. You can't say, and mostly because the radiation is still going up. We don't know where we don't know where it's going to end, where it's going to stop. There's no end in sight. We don't know how long it's going to go on. We don't know what the total amount of released radiation is going to be. There is no foundation for making a statement that nobody is likely to die from this. We don't know. That's the most honest thing we can say. We don't know. But BBC is out there trying to say, it's no big deal, and, we shouldn't, the nuclear is still good, and blah, 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 and obviously serving that whole agenda. But it's rather amazing because back when it was Chernobyl and Great Britain was underneath the plume of fallout, you should have heard the BBC back then. They were screaming about what a crisis this was. But now it's happening on somebody else's real estate, it doesn't really matter. They're pushing an agenda that places profits at a higher priority than people. And we're seeing that here with Jim Cramer, we're seeing it at BBC, we're seeing it with Ann Coulter. They're all a bunch of prostitutes. Now, back in 2006, BBC broadcast a special on Horizon in which they said themselves, exposures above 200 millisieverts are harmful. Now, NHK is reporting radiation releases already at five times that level. And yet the BBC is saying, there's not going to be any problem. All right, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Ron in Ohio. Aloha, Ron. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi. Just wanted to give you a piece of information. I came across a website called radiationnetwork.com, which displays a map of the U.S. And evidently this is information that's reported in privately through citizen detection units. People will monitor with their Geiger counters what radiation levels they're seeing currently, report into this website, and then the information is displayed on the map. So it's kind of a interesting website. I thought you might want to just be aware of it.
Well, I am aware of it, and I'm looking at it, and I was linking to it briefly, but the problem I have with that is that even as we get reports from the universities in these various cities that they're detecting increases in radiation, the numbers on this map don't really change. They don't reflect the reports we're getting from other sources. So there's one of two possibilities. There's either a technical problem with the website where it's not getting its data correctly or timely, or, and this is a very real possibility we need to keep in mind, it would not be above a public relations firm hired by General Electric to put up a whole bunch of these so-called citizens reporting websites to try and conceal the reality of what's going on with the radiation. I mean, don't you think it's rather funny that just at a time when the EPA's own radiation monitoring system seems to be suffering all these strange problems, that all of a sudden all of these private websites pop up claiming to do accurate radiation measurement? And at this point, until I see something that looks like we're going to have accurate readings, I'm going to rely on my own meter here for Hawaii and just move forward from that. But at this point, I did link to that site for a while, but I'm not seeing the numbers reflect the reports we're getting from the local universities. So,
I'm totally unaware of any sites of this nature being out there. And
there's a couple of them now.
Yeah, the things that you've mentioned are very good possibilities. I would like to add one note before I hang up. I'm a radiologic technologist, and one of the things you learn in your educational process to become a tech is that there is no safe dose of man-made radiation whatsoever.
That's absolutely correct.
If you took 100 people or 1,000 people and exposed them all to the same level, intensity, and duration of a specific radiation exposure, one out of those may get cancer and die. 10 out of those may get cancer and die. So it shows that it's not an across the board, everyone's going to have these residual effects from exposure. So that's why they say no safe exposure, no safe level for exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Did that make sense?
Well, there's a lot of probability in there because it has to do with the particle radiation, the ionizing radiation hitting the DNA within a cell. And if it goes through your body and doesn't hit any DNA, then you're absolutely safe from it. So it really is, it's a matter of luck and probability. And
that's
obviously
correct.
The higher the radioactive flux or the longer the duration of the exposure, the more likely you are to have your DNA disrupted by some the ionizing radiation. But it only takes one particle and one strand of DNA to kick it off. And that's
correct.
One end of the extreme. And the other is, there have been a couple of cases of people exposed to intense amounts of radiation, and just by sheer luck, it didn't hit any of the DNA, and, they got a bad sunburn, and that was kind of the end of it.
Right. Yep. So the three factors are time, distance, and shielding, or intensity, right?
Yeah.
The amount of time you're exposed, how far away you are from the source can protect you, and shielding can protect you.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, for most of this stuff, if it's outside your body, it is going to be safe. The problem is if you ingest it. And obviously, if you have plutonium particles in the air and you breathe them in, that is a real danger situation. And, that's
like the worst-case scenario, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we're going to see a lot of problems in Japan. And hopefully the levels over the United States and certainly over here in Hawaii so far seem to be within safe and reasonable limits. Now, again, my little detector is beta and gamma only. It will not pick up alpha. So if we were getting showered with plutonium, I would have no way of knowing about that.
I believe plutonium would be emitting gamma radiation.
It occasionally emits gamma as it decays into americium, but for the most part, non-fissioning plutonium emits alpha rays.
I see. Was not aware of that.
Well, we're all learning as fast as we can on this stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thanks an awful lot for the call, Ron. We're going to switch over to Clint in Nevada. Aloha, Clint. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Two things. I wanted to make a comment on Glenn Beck's deal on Jekyll Island. He actually had Edward Griffin on. And I almost fell off my chair, and these guys are admitting a lot of things that, I didn't think I'd really hear on mainstream TV. And I guess it just shows that, we are kind of winning the hearts and minds, the alternative media, and they're having to change their song to have any credibility at all. Another thing is One of the things the government lied to on nuclear development was right here at test site. They blew off something like 80 to 90 atmospheric bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And my family settled in southern Utah, and if you go through my lineage, hardly anybody ever died of cancer. And boy, the 20, 30 years afterwards, several people did in my family. And they all
These effects show up years later, and the government is always going to say, well, the cancer could have come from something else. You know, maybe we dropped some biological weapons. But I remember, and one of the reasons, you know, that I am responding so much to this story, when I was a small boy in New Hampshire, growing up in farming country, there was apparently some kind of an accident with a nuclear test in Nevada. And it apparently was the test that contaminated the most Americans out of all the tests they had there. And I remember very, very clearly that we were told to go to school that day, and they kept us in the hallway in the middle of the building. We were not allowed to go outside for recess. We were not allowed to go outside for lunch. We were not allowed into our classrooms. They conducted all of the school's business that day in the central hallway. We were all packed in the hallway, playing games and singing songs, and basically just, and I remember vividly standing in the doorway in the hall looking into the classroom where normally I would be sitting, and through the glass windows out to the road there. And it was a gorgeous summer day. We were in summer school at the time. It was a gorgeous summer day. And just the teachers are saying, you can't go in there. It'll kill you. And just that fear, you know, and that whatever was out there was invisible. You couldn't see it. You couldn't fight it. You couldn't defend against it. It was just something the government had made in Nevada was coming down all over New Hampshire. And that image has just stayed with me. And so now, you know, we're living through that whole thing again where there's been this monstrous radioactive accident. We see already the TEPCO has been caught lying. The Japanese government has been caught lying. Our own corporate media is pandering to the financial interests that are at risk from this disaster, and we're not getting honest information. And, you know, that, if more than anything else, is elevating the level of fear. This is where all the lies about the economy and Saddam's nuclear bombs and all the rest of that are going to come back and haunt the American media and the U.S. government. They could be telling us the truth that there's nothing to worry about. But are you willing to bet your life that on this one occasion, the government and the media are being honest? I'm not.
Well, one thing you brought up, and I was wondering if you could explain it, why would a nuclear, and then I'll let you go, why would a nuclear power station be more dangerous than detonating, say, a hydrogen bomb down in the South Pacific or scores of open-air tests in southern Nevada? Why would a power plant be more dangerous? And I'll let you go at that, Mike. Have a good day.
Okay. All right. Thanks an awful lot. Well, the explanation of that is actually quite simple, because with a good, efficient bomb design, the radioactive products produced from the explosion are all these short-lived isotopes. Originally, the United States intentionally tried to create the cleanest possible nuclear bombs possible because of what they'd seen in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And the idea was, you have so much of this very pure isotope that represents the fuel for the bomb. It goes through its nuclear reaction. You produce a huge amount of energy, and what's left over is this stuff that'll fade away very quickly. The problem with a fission reactor melting down is it's creating all kinds of long-lived isotopes without any controls whatsoever. All kinds of things are being created that would not be found in a normal fission or multi-stage thermonuclear weapon. And that is the real danger. Also, if you're setting off an atomic bomb down there at Bikini Atoll, you know, in theory, it's at least far away from any major population centers, which is not true for Three Mile Island or Chernobyl or Fukushima. And even today, you know, they're trying to operate the Bikini Lagoon where the Bravo test took place, or Baker test took place. And, you know, you can go and dive and see the remains of all those ships that got blown up. But you're not allowed to stay there for very long because it is still radioactive. You're not allowed to eat the fish from that part of the world. And, you know, it's, you know, it has not gone away. And they're both bad. Nuclear weapons are bad. And nuclear power stations, if they're not run correctly, can be very, very bad. And again, as this situation in Fukushima begins to unwind, we're discovering the real reason for the severity of this catastrophe is that corners were being cut, safety systems were not being purchased and installed. Apparently, TEPCO was told that the plant could be wrecked by a tsunami from a quake as small as 7.5, which is a big quake, but considerably less than what actually happened. And TEPCO chose not to spend the money to reinforce the seawall or to move those diesel generators onto high ground to keep them out of the water. They rolled the dice. They lost, is really what it comes down to. All right, we've got all kinds of callers waiting on the line. We're going to take a break for some commercials. When we come back, we'll take Andrea in Oklahoma and Steve in Ontario with regard to their concerns over this matter. And we will be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to AshworthTraining.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at WhatReallyHappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Going right to the phones, Andrea in Oklahoma. Aloha, Andrea. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, I've been kind of looking at the detectors that they have out there, and I wanted to kind of get your idea on this one. It's it looks like a security badge, and it says no instant detection, no batteries needed, no carbon calibrations needed. It It's military grade, and it looks like something, a security badge that you would wear if you were working somewhere. And it's just, it looks like a paper, piece of paper, like one of those badges. So
it's a dosimeter.
I guess so. And it's reasonable, not like what I'm seeing on eBay, that either there are those big yellow ones that are pretty heavy. They look like a shoebox that you have to carry around. But this looks, I just didn't know if you've seen one of these and if you thought they were legit.
They're legit, except that it's kind of a use-once thing. You wear it around radiation, and it's designed to change color when radiation gets above the danger level. It's not going to give you a day-to-day reading of the background levels of radiation. It's more of an alarm situation where you're wearing this thing, and if it changes color, it means you've already been exposed to dangerous levels of radiation, and you should take steps to reduce your exposure. But once it's changed color, you throw it away. It's useless past that point. It's a one-time only deal. Yeah.
Okay, what about these keychains? It says they're selling about $145 each. Mm-hmm. And it says Nuke Alert, and they're made supposedly here in the U.S. But have one that you endorse? Or because to go out there on eBay, like everything I'm seeing is like $400 and going up to $1,000, except for those big...
They are expensive. I mean, there's two basic types of radiation meter that are out there in common usage. The old classical one is based on the Geiger-Müller tube, which is a metal tube, partly evacuated, high voltage applied to it. When a radioactive particle or a cosmic ray zips through there, it creates a temporary ionization path, and a small amount of electricity can sort of short-circuit from the anode to the cathode. That's what makes the thing click, or in the case of this meter, it can beep. There's a second type of meter called a scintillometer, which uses a material that responds to the passage of ionizing radiation by producing a brief flash of light. That light is then detected by a photocell and amplified and gets the count that way. Scintillometers tend to be a little bit more sensitive than Geiger-Müller tube-based systems. They're all pretty expensive. Now, I have one of those keychain units being sent to me for evaluation. I am guessing at this point, given its small size, that it's probably a variation on the scintillometer, just a little tiny piece of the scintillating material and a little light-sensitive photodiode and an amplifier, and that's basically makes the most sense for it to be there. When I get it, I'll run a test on it against my thorium glass camera lens and against a Coleman mantle and validate that it actually does work, and then I'll report on it here on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. All righty, let's see. Steve in Ontario, what's on your mind there?
Wanted to ask you, and you had mentioned something about the cigarette industry, how it wasn't actually the tobacco itself, but the polonium in the fertilizer that was really the main cause of the cancer?
Yes.
Was that an oops, we are so stupid, or was that really something that... because I think cigarette smoking has been blamed for an unbelievable amount of cancer in the last generation.
Steve, got to take a minute for station identification. Do not go away. I want to pick up on this topic when we come back.